This year marks the 25th anniversary of Lonely Planet Travel Guides, and to commemorate the occasion, Tony Wheeler, the publication's founder, has written a book called Chasing Rickshaws, a romantic look at 12 Asian countries as seen from the perspective of the rickshaws, sort of the Asian taxicab. Lonely Planet photographer Richard Iansen accompanied Tony on his journey, and what they created is a spectacular profile of the Far East and a mode of transportation that seems almost anachronistic in this fast-paced world. I asked Tony why, of all things, he chose to chase rickshaws.
Well, we've been traveling around Asia for, as you say, 25 years now, and anybody who's spent any time in Asia eventually ends up riding around in rickshaws. You know, it always intrigued me, the different designs, the how colorful they are in some countries, and the fact that they're beginning to disappear in parts of Asia, that intrigued me as well, and we decided we'd record it before they went.
And where did you go to study rickshaws?
We chose 12 different cities that gave us a sort of spread of rickshaw types. So we went to Calcutta because there you still find the old man-pulled rickshaws. We went to Singapore because the trishaw is a sort of a tourist icon of Singapore in some respects. We went to Manila because they're like junior jeepneys. We went to Dhaka in Bangladesh because Dhaka is the world rickshaw capital. It has about 300,000 rickshaws, and they may be fading out in other places, but they certainly aren't in Dhaka.
I think they are in Hong Kong. There's about three or four left as you come off the Star Ferry on the Hong Kong side. It's the only ones I ever see.
Yeah, they really are, as you say, disappearing in Hong Kong. There were 5,000 between the wars, but then they went down to, during the Vietnam War, there was probably about 500 left, and then it was down to 100 and then 50. And we actually lined up all the remaining rickshaws and took a photograph of them with the Hong Kong skyline behind.
And that was about how many?
That was five.
Five. So I've seen about four of the five, I think. Yeah. Now, let me ask you, if you look at the design of a rickshaw, can you tell something about the city in which it operates?
I could certainly, having done this book, I could look at a rickshaw and tell you instantly which city it comes from, because they have very distinct designs. Some of them are like a bicycle with a sidecar attached to it, and that's the type that you find in Singapore or in Rangoon in Burma. Some of them have the passengers sit out front and the bicycle part is behind, so when the accident happens, you as a passenger are the first one to hear about it. That type you find in Southeast Asia, in Indonesia, in Malaysia, and in Vietnam. And then there are others where the rider sits out front. It's like the front of a bicycle, and the passengers sit behind, and you find that type right the way across India and through China as well.
They look pretty precarious. Are they safe? Are there regulatory divisions in Asia that oversee licensing for these guys?
In one or two places there was licensing. In fact, in Penang in Malaysia, we actually tracked down the guy who put them through their driving test, that he sat in the rickshaw and told them to pedal down the street and turn left and turn right and pull up at the first red traffic light. But in general, they weren't regulated very much, and I test-rode them in each city. I jumped on one and checked out the handling and the road holding, and they didn't feel very safe to me a lot of the time.
I know in some places, like modern Singapore, they're largely used by tourist rickshaws, but are there places where rickshaws are economical travel for locals?
Yeah, they're certainly used by schoolchildren in quite a few cities, even places where they're rather dying out. You still see kids going to school in them. Of course, you can get a lot of kids. We counted 12 kids on one in India once. You could hardly see the rickshaw under all the kids hanging onto it. But yeah, they're certainly used as everyday transport in quite a few places. Dhaka, of course, they're the number one form of transport. There's more rickshaw trips than anything else.
Tell me about rickshaws from the perspective of the drivers, Tony. Are drivers always men? What's their world like?
Well, they're certainly 99.999% men, certainly because all 300,000 rickshaws in Dhaka were all piloted by men. And certainly in the cities where it's still everyday transport, very often the riders are from outside the cities. So in Singapore, where it's tourism, a lot of the riders were young guys who, they were at college and they owned their rickshaw and they just used it in the evening to sort of make some extra money. But if you go to Dhaka in Bangladesh or Calcutta in India, the riders, they've come from the villages out in the country, and they've come to the big city looking for employment, and riding a rickshaw is the sort of the bottom line, really.
Did you meet any drivers who were memorable?
In China, the riders in Beijing were real characters, all of them, and we met an 81-year-old rider there who'd been doing it for years, and some of the younger riders were saying that they sort of steered jobs towards him because they admired the fact that at the age of 81 he was still riding a rickshaw around Beijing in the middle of winter. A number of the Beijing rickshaw riders had this same story, that they'd taken it up because they didn't want to be, you know, regimented in their working hours, and they preferred setting their own sort of time and so on to working in a factory. And it paid better than working in a factory, but they repeatedly, we were told, it was so good for their health, a Chinese obsession with health. And they would say how, you know, when they used to work in a factory, every winter they got sick, they got a cold or the flu or something. But since they'd taken up rickshaw riding, they'd be much healthier.
I can see it. I can see it, a fad in the States, you know, the rickshaw workout. Now, is there anything being done to keep them from, keep rickshaws on the road in places other than, say, Hong Kong and Singapore, where they're almost extinct?
Well, in most places, quite the opposite. That the governments feel that, you know, they get in the way of faster motorized traffic, and they don't give an impression of being a modern, fast moving country. So in most places we went to, the far from being encouraged, because I mean they're pollution free and they create employment at a base level. There's lots of good reasons for rickshaws, but far from being encouraged, they're actually being discouraged by governments.
What's the very best city for a rickshaw ride?
I must admit, I did like Penang for rickshaw rides, and I've always liked it. I think that maybe that was part of the attraction of doing this book, that from the very first time I went to Penang, I thought that the rickshaws fitted the city well. Manila, the riders were young. They were young guys or young women as well, but they were very young, and we counted 13 headlights on one rickshaw. He had 100 pounds of stereo equipment and lights and car batteries and things on this thing. He's obviously a jeepney driver in training. That's the only thing you could say.
I was going to say he's one carburetor away from being a taxi.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tony Wheeler is the founder of the line of guidebooks called Lonely Planet. This 25th anniversary publication is not the size of the guidebooks, which are made to really fit easily in a backpack. This is actually a coffee table book called Chasing Rickshaws. Tony Wheeler's written the text. Photographs are by Richard Iansen. I thank you so much for joining us, Tony.
Thank you. It was good to talk about rickshaws.